Good evening, everyone. My name is Helen Schaefer, and I am an alcoholic. And lest I forget at the end, thank you so much for allowing me to do this and for all the little perks that have come along with it. I can never repay AA enough for what I have been given. And I'll be honest with you, this has sort of been like giving my first lead 9 weeks in a row. You know, a little nervousness here, but that's okay. And for those of you who don't know, I'm going to tell you about this. I now have 11,712 days of sobriety, but it's not because I've counted them. All you have to do is ask Siri on the telephone or on my phone how many days since the day of my last drink. So, and she tells me. So I. And I have a home group, and that is the Cranesville Tuesday night meeting. Meets on Crane Road, out in the country. And before it starts snowing, come on out and visit us. And I have a sponsor and a co-sponsor today. And today is our final step in this series, and of course that's step 12. The principles. I have been talking about the principles behind these steps because in the last part of the 12th step is practice these principles in all our affairs. And of course, I've always wondered, what are these principles? Well, a few years back, I got a list of principles, then I got another list of principles, and then I got a third list of principles, and they don't always agree. But the principles behind step 12 that I found are service, charity, and love. And I'll talk more about that later. And of course, the 12th step says, hello. Not a problem. I taught high school for years. There were always interruptions when, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I have heard people in the past emphasize the word the result. There aren't a lot of results that we expect. The result is what we should be working for, and that's the spiritual awakening. And that's the first part that I'll talk about tonight. The big book, the appendix at the end, page 569, it's appendix 2, has a nice explanation of spiritual awakening, spiritual experience. But my favorite part of it is the sentence that says, willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery. But these are indispensable, meaning that they're absolutely necessary, they're essential. And just as a little sidelight, there's a woman's one-day workshop over in Ashtabula on Saturday, which I'm going to, and the topic is willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. And we've talked a lot about willingness throughout these steps. Honesty, well, first being honest with myself, being honest with others. And open-mindedness, the ability, in my opinion, to listen and appreciate different opinions from the one I hold. And I need to be open. I needed, and I still need to be open, to the suggestions of AA, even though I didn't like them particularly. So having a spiritual awakening is the goal of working these steps. And the beginning of that was back in step one. And I mentioned that when we were talking about step one that first week. And I'm going to start with, as Bill sees it, that's been where I've been drawing my material, from page 8, a grapevine article that says, is sobriety all that we are to expect of a spiritual awakening? No. Sobriety is only a bare beginning. It is only the first gift of the first awakening. If more gifts are to be received, our awakening has to go on. As it does go on, we find that bit by bit, we can discard the old life, the one that did not work, for a new life that can and does work under any conditions whatever. Regardless of what worldly success or failure, regardless of pain or joy, regardless of sickness or health or even of death itself. A new life of endless possibilities can be lived if we are willing to continue our awakening through the practice of AA's 12 steps. And I've been through a lot of that in sobriety. You know, joy, pain. Personally, I've been pretty healthy, but I've had to deal with others' sickness, others' deaths. And it works. It works. I'm sorry, it was page 8. Page 8. Mm-hmm. And because of the steps, we have worked to the best of our ability each time we've worked through them. There have been big personality changes in us. I have seen big personality changes in people who I've known for many, many years. Mentioning no names. Yeah, well, he just stuck his tongue out at me, so. Page 171 in As Bill Sees It addresses that. Maybe. I have the wrong page number. No, I don't. I'm on page 200. There it is. And this is from a letter that Bill wrote in 1966. The AA preoccupation with sobriety is sometimes misunderstood. To some, this single virtue appears to be the sole dividend of our fellowship. We are thought to be dried up drunks who otherwise have changed little, or not at all, for the better. Such a surmise widely misses the truth. We know that permanent sobriety can be attained only by a most revolutionary change in the life and outlook of the individual, by a spiritual awakening that can banish the desire to drink. And I know today that without a higher power, I will not have sobriety. And without my sobriety, the only higher power that I'll have will be alcohol. There's no doubt in my life. Or my mind whatsoever. And the willingness to continue to change comes with living these 12 steps. And on page 246 in As Bill Sees It, he says, "The central characteristic of the spiritual experience is that it gives the recipient a new and better motivation out of all proportion to any process of discipline, belief, or faith. These experiences cannot make us whole at once. They are a rebirth to a fresh and certain opportunity." And, you know, I did not get sick overnight. I am not going to get well overnight. It's a long process, and it's a lifelong process. I'm praying that I continue to come back to these rooms till the day I get called home and continue to grow. And this has been a good experience, a growth experience for me, preparing these 12 steps to talk about. And although Bill's spiritual experience was of a sudden variety, I guess that was probably necessary for him to have the motivation to do all he did in order for this fellowship to form. You know, if it were a gradual process, I don't know if he'd have the motivation to do all the work he did. So looking at page 281, he says, in a Grapevine article in 1962, "There is only one sure test of all spiritual experience. By their fruits ye shall know them. This is why I think we should question no one's transformation, whether it be sudden or gradual. Nor should we demand anyone's special type for ourselves. Because experience suggests that we are apt to receive whatever may be the most useful for our own needs." So it's saying to me, you know, mine was not a sudden insight, revelation. Mine was a very slow And it still is going on, a very slow change. He also addresses this on page 313 when he says, "It may be possible to find explanation of spiritual experiences as ours, but I have often tried to explain my own and have succeeded only in giving the story of it. I know the feeling it gave me and the result it has brought, but I realize I may never fully understand its deeper why and how." I guess I sort of wanted a sudden spiritual experience. You know, I wanted, although I've had a couple with other matters in AA, where, and one was over a resentment, and I talked about this in my lead, that I had prayed for a long time to be released from a resentment. And the release from that resentment was sudden. It happened. So come hear me lead sometime, or remind me to talk about getting rid of the resentment against that boss that I couldn't stand. Anyhow. And of course, the second part of the 12th step is to carry the message to other alcoholics. And this is so important that in the big book, an entire chapter, chapter 7, is devoted just to carrying the message to other alcoholics, and it's called Working with Others. And I have a reference, as Bill sees it, the whole way through, but I've run into this one in Language of the Heart that I just absolutely love. So this is from Language of the Heart on page 160, if you happen to look in that book. Our 12th step, carrying the message, is the basic service that AA Fellowship gives. This is our principal aim and the main reason for our existence. We must carry the message, else we ourselves can wither and those who haven't been given the truth will die. So why are we banded together? We're banded together to share the message of AA. I didn't realize at the time, but I got 12-step way back. I had a cousin whose husband was 7 years sober in this fellowship, and right after I knew that he was sober, because he wouldn't even have a glass of wine with us at Thanksgiving. Yeah, I thought he was real. But anyhow, I called to let her know that I had gone to AA. And the next thing, I get a call from them just shortly afterwards inviting me to hit a camp up at Leaper near Cook's Forest. And they invited me up, met me at the Sawmill restaurant, and took me up to camp. And Tommy, my cousin's husband, told me his entire story that night. And I was like, wow. You know, and I realized, and I don't know how much later, that he was 12-stepping me, even though I had been to a meeting. He wanted me to know that I was not alone in the family, anyhow, with this problem. So it was really neat. I've been on a few 12-step calls. We were just talking about Bert, and Bert was one of the persons I went on a 12-step call with. There was a call from a female. All my 12-step calls are been to people who have already been in the fellowship and went back up. And this particular woman called from the Borough Bar in Edinburgh, and Bert did not want to go out on a 12-step call alone, which we're taught. And because it was a woman, he asked me to go along. And I remember him getting her a couple of roadies for the trip into detox. And as we were leaving there, I was a couple years sober. And I looked, there was this guy sitting at the bar in the same seat he had been sitting in when I was still drinking in there. And I thought, oh my gosh, how does he get away with still drinking? I don't know if God took that as a prayer or not, but he ended up in detox at the same time she did, within the next couple of days. And one time I made a very huge mistake on a 12-step call, because it was a sponsee of mine, and she was drunk, and she called for help, and I didn't call anyone to go with me. Never a good idea, even if I was the person's sponsor, because when I got to her house, she had a razor blade, single-edged razor blade, poised over her wrist, and she was ready to commit suicide. And God gave me the words. I said, well, she had a 7-year-old son there. I said, well, you've got a choice. I'll go upstairs, I'll get your son, I'll take him and get in touch with Children's Services, and you do what you have to, or you give me the razor blade. And for many years, I carried that, wrapped that razor blade up in aluminum foil and carried it in my wallet because she gave me the razor blade. And she had sobriety off and on until she eventually did commit suicide. But as Bill sees it, and that's a lot of my experience there, but page 165, success in 12-stepping, from a letter he wrote in 1942. Most of us weren't even alive then, were we? Some of us were. But anyhow, we now see that in 12-stepping, the immediate results are not so important. Some people start out working with others and have immediate success. They are likely to get cocky. Those of us who are not so successful at first get depressed. As a matter of fact, the successful worker differs only from the unsuccessful one in being lucky about his prospects. He simply hits newcomers who are ready and able to stop at once. Given the same prospects, the seemingly unsuccessful person would have produced almost the same results. You have to work on a lot of newcomers before the law of averages commences to assert itself. So, you know, we hear so many times that, you know, I'm not a successful sponsor, I'm not a successful 12-stepper, but I don't know if, I have it coming up. So, in order to keep it, we must give it away. You know, that's the point of 12-stepping. We're giving away what was so freely given to each and one of us. And Bill says, from the language of the heart, from AA Today on page 195, why, at this particular point in history, has God chosen to communicate his healing grace to so many of us? Every aspect of this global unfoldment can be related to a single crucial word. The word is communication. There has been a life-saving communication among ourselves, with the world around us, and with God. From the beginning, communication in AA has been no ordinary transmission of helpful ideas and attitudes. Because of our kinship and suffering, and because our common means of deliverance are effective for ourselves only when constantly carried to others, our channels of contact have always been charged with the language of the heart. We have to give it away to keep it. You know, I love that part in the big book when it says that, talks about the Dead Sea and the Red Sea and the difference of the Dead Sea. The water flows in and there's no outlet. But in the Red Sea, the water flows in, through, and back out. And it stays alive. I'm going to talk about something just a tiny bit controversial, but it's not in my mind since I've read what Bill has said. We cannot dilute AA's message in AA by attempting to be inclusive of all of mankind's problems. And he speaks to this on page 304. There are those who predict that AA may well become a new spearhead for a spiritual awakening throughout the world. When our friends say these things, they are both generous and sincere. But we of AA must reflect that such a tribute and such a prophecy could well prove to be a heady drink for most of us. That is, if we really came to believe this to be the real purpose of AA, and if we commence to behave accordingly. Our society, therefore, will prudently cleave to its single purpose, the carrying of the message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Let us resist the proud assumption that since God has enabled us to do well in one area, we are destined to be a channel of saving grace for everybody. Our singleness of purpose. So, let's just let that go because I don't want to start out up any controversy. And also, accepting that some people will not want our help. Bill addresses this on page 14, and I love this page too. You can't make a horse drink water if he still prefers beer, or is too crazy to know what he does want. Set a pail of water beside him. Tell him how good it is and why, and leave him alone. If people really want to get drunk, there is, so far as I know, no way of stopping this. So leave them alone and let them get drunk. But don't exclude them from the water pail either. So, and that's addressed, on 14. 275 also talks about the same thing. In the first 6 months of my own sobriety, I worked hard with many, many alcoholics. Not a one responded. Yet this work kept me sober. It wasn't a question of those alcoholics giving me anything. My stability came out of trying to give, not out of demanding that I receive. And that's from a Grapevine article. When we were up at Stepping Stones last year, it was told to us as we were touring the house that Bill was complaining to Lois that, you know, in his first 6 months or so, no one he had worked with would stay sober. And she replied to him, "But you stayed sober." So that comes from Lois initially. And then there are those who we work with who do not seem to us that they are appreciative of our efforts. And Bill addresses that on page 69 in a Grapevine article. Watch any AA of 6 months working with a 12-step prospect. If the newcomer says, "To the devil with you," the 12th stepper only smiles and finds another alcoholic to help. He doesn't feel frustrated or rejected. If his next drunk responds and in turn starts to give love and attention to other sufferers, it gives none back to him. The sponsor is happy about it anyway. He doesn't feel rejected. Instead, he rejoices that his former prospect is sober and happy. And he well knows that his own life has been made richer as an extra dividend of giving to another without any demand for a return. This is given for free and for fun. And also on page 105, he addresses this too. Our chief, in a letter he wrote back in 42 again, he was a writing a guy. Our chief responsibility to the newcomer is an adequate presentation of the program. If he does nothing or argues, we do nothing but maintain our own sobriety. If he starts to move ahead, even a little, with an open mind, then we can break our necks to help him in every way that we can. So I guess what this is, what I'm hearing in this right now is, don't take it personally. And it's something I've been working on real hard in my own life right now. You know, don't take it personally. It's the other person. Okay, 12-step work, of course, is not only calling on the newcomer. Any service that we do for AA is part of carrying the message. Whether it's setting up chairs, bringing the cookies, making coffee, chairing, and all the other little jobs we do to make sure that a scheduled meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous happens. And I have even heard that said just attending an AA meeting is part of the 12-step because we're showing other people who are sitting around us that this works. And my final one tonight from As Bill Sees It is on page 21 from a letter in 1959. Now more of us were born. Each of us in turn, that is the member who gets the most out of the program, spends a very large amount of time on 12-step work in the early years. That was my case, and perhaps I should not have stayed sober with less work. However, sooner or later, most of us are presented with other obligations to family, friends, and country. As you will remember, the 12th step also refers to practice these principles in all our affairs. Therefore, I think your choice of whether to take a particular 12-step job is to be found in your own conscience. No one else can tell you for certain what you ought to do at a particular time. I just know that you are expected at some point to do more than carry the message of AA to other alcoholics. In AA, we aim for not only sobriety, we try again to become citizens of the world that we rejected and of the world that once rejected us. This is the ultimate demonstration towards which 12-step work is the first, but not the final step. And of course, that is then the third part of step 12, practicing these principles in all our affairs. And I ran off a few of these. I went back through from the beginning and listed the principles. Like in first step was surrender. And there are 21 pages dealing with surrender in As Bill Sees It. Acceptance, again, 14 pages. The second step, hope and faith. Nothing on hope in there. The front of the book has a reading guide. But faith, there were 28 pages. Third was commitment and trust. Trust, there were 8 pages in As Bill Sees It that refers to trust. Fourth step, honesty, 25 pages. Courage, 8 pages. Fifth step, truth and integrity are not listed as topics in here. But you know, once I've looked through that honesty and courage in the fourth step, they'll work for me. Those are the principles too, the truth and the integrity. Because what's the difference between honesty and truth? I don't know. Willingness, big one. In step 6, 15 pages. But then comes one of Bill's favorite topics in the 7th step, humility, that principle, because he has 40 pages in this book on humility. Yeah. 8th step, reflection and forgiveness. Forgiveness, there's 6 pages. 9th step, amendment. Well, I consider that in making amends, and there are 9 pages in here. And freedom, also in the 9th step, principle in the 9th step, 13 pages. I couldn't find anything on vigilance and perseverance. I made a change on that, which I didn't change. I changed in the second one. I went to inventory for that, for the 10th step. 44 pages on taking an inventory. 11th step, couldn't find anything on attunement. I never heard that word until last week when I was in patience. So I looked up prayer, 26 pages. Meditation, 12 pages. And finally, the 12th step, service. There are 25 pages in here on service. Charity and love. Love, there are 13 pages. So there's a lot of references in this book, As Bill Sees It, to those principles that we are to practice in all our affairs. I thank you so much for this opportunity to share what I've learned about the 12 steps through As Bill Sees It. God bless you.
Okay, now we have, well, I already got a question. Check this out.
Bridget.
Hi, I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Bridget.
Can you guess what I'm going to ask you, Helen? What was your resentment? Talk about in your... My interest has been piqued the entire time you've been talking.
Oh, I had a resentment against a boss that I have. I felt that he spent his life trying to make my life miserable at work, and so in turn, I did what I could to make him miserable. And this was before sobriety and into sobriety. And I bellyached about him at meetings. Well, I was told to pray for him. 2 weeks was insufficient. It took 2 years of praying for this man. He finally passed away. I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. And he was a young man. I think he was 49 years old. And God's got such a sense of humor. I still have this resentment. I still can't think about this man without gritting my teeth. And the people at work decided that we should plant a memorial garden to him. My classroom was next to that. It was an interior courtyard. Yes, and I was right there. So I contributed money, but I would not do work. I'm not going to get dirt under my fingernails for that man. Okay, so I'm still praying for him. And the resentment is still there. The spring after that garden had been planted, it started coming up. And one day that spring, and I had no intentions of walking out there, the door was open to the courtyard, I walked out into that courtyard, and I literally felt that resentment lifting out of me. I mean, I physically felt it. And from that day forward, I can talk about him with no emotion. There's no anger, there's no hatred. It was a big one. Yeah, it was a big one. So, you know what that proves to me? That the harder I have to work towards something, the bigger the reward is going to be. Thanks, Bridget, for asking.
Jim, alcoholic.
Hey, Jim.
Thanks, Helen. You were talking about, reaching out and helping, and if somebody obviously doesn't want the help and wants to keep drinking, just that's fine, let them go and then look for someone else. But in the event that you're sponsoring someone, I mean, this has happened to me, I'm guessing it's happened to you, you get them so far through the steps and they're doing good and life is getting good and they really want to be sober and they no longer think they need Alcoholics Anonymous. They're staying sober. Maybe it's months, maybe it's years. They're staying sober. Do you reach out to that person occasionally just to kind of say, hey, how you doing, and let them know that there's still a seat here regardless of how good their life's going, or do you just let them go?
Well, back in the days before cell phones, I would give them 3 more attempts. And I try to contact them 3 times. Kids would answer the phone. Yeah, I'll get Mom. Oh, she's taking a bath. 3 times. Today with cell phones, and I have just experienced that over the summer, there was a woman that contacted that was transferred to me from the answering service, and we met at a meeting and got her a big book and talked on the phone a couple of days, and she called me and I called her, and then all of a sudden I called her and there was no answer. She saw who it was, and then there was no answer, and I called her, like I said, 3 times. The other thing I have done was someone that I knew much better that I was sponsoring, and I would just text her little inspirational messages. You know, you can get those little just occasionally, and she's come back in. It's much easier in the day now than it was back when I first got sober to, they don't have to lie. They can just ignore me today. So yeah, I try. I really do. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jim.
Anyone else?
Oh.
Wasn't that waiting for that?
Jeez, I'm so surprised.
Let me get my 2 cents in. Thanks again, Helen. I'd like to ask the group to thank Helen again.
Because as many hours as you spend here, you spend twice as much in research. So I think everybody really realizes that. As a result of practice these principles in all your affairs, assumes that you've done that and you've received those rewards. In your 30 plus years of sobriety, what would you say is the greatest gift that you've received from Alcoholics Anonymous and whatever, these steps and everything else?
Peace of mind. Absolutely peace of mind. I was tormented in my drinking days every day with the thought, I need to do something different. This isn't working. I hate this life. I cannot stand myself. I'm ashamed. And just those thoughts, you know, I don't have them. I don't have them now. I still make mistakes and I still get sad. But I don't beat myself up with them day after day. You know, I go and I talk to my sponsor, I talk to someone in AA, and I make amends when necessary. So peace of mind, it's just, most of my days are very, very content. So. Okay? Bridget's got it.
Hello, I'm Bridget. I do want to ask you, you're talking about your home group. Mm-hmm. It's in Crossingville, did you say?
Did I? I said Crossingville.
No, you could have said anything. I couldn't remember.
Well, it's Cranesville. My original one was Crossingville, and I get them confused too. So
I don't think, and I might be wrong, that would be on our pamphlet. Because it's out of the area, is that correct?
Yes, it's an Erie County meeting.
It is an Erie, so I would see it in there.
You would see
that's
it at 7 o'clock Tuesday evenings.
Thank
yes.
you. Mm-hmm. So it's Cranesville.
Cranesville.
Okay, thank
on
you.
On Crane Road, corner
sometime.
Of Crane and State Road.
Okay, thank you, Helen, mm-hmm. for answering that.
Yeah. Anyone else? No, thank you, Helen.
Oh, well, thank you, and thank you for... Don't go too far. I have learned much more than I have shared with you by doing this. It really has been a neat experience for me. But I'm not sad it's over.
That's for you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.